Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and thank you for joining me this week. It's already 11:06 and we have got lots to chat about. And I have two wonderful guests with me here this morning, author Eunice Malefi and her daughter Mote. But before we start chatting to these two incredible ladies who are really going to talk from the heart, let us not forget what's coming up next week. Okay, so it's Homentashen time, Shalach Monas time. Yes, we are in the month of fun, month of Adar, so we are celebrating Purim. So I'm sure most of you are starting to get ready. You can actually start making your dough for your Homentashen, stick it in the freezer, and you can start preparing for cheese, cream cheese, chocolate, nut. Oh, I can think of 1,000 different things. So mishloach manot, for those of us that, those of you that don't understand what I'm talking about, is literally means, sending of portions. Okay. You can also call it, mishloach manos, shalach monos. And, it's basically what it is it's a Purim basket with gifts of food and drink, and they're sent to family and friends and others on Purim Day. And the mitzvah of giving mishloach manot derives from the Book of Esther. So it is meant to ensure that everyone has enough food for the Purim feast, which will also be held later that day. So it starts on next week, the 9th. We read it for the first time, the Book of Esther, the Megillah, and then the next day we read it as well. And we just give each other these little baskets of fruit just to increase friendship and love, and just to love our neighbors, and just to include them in what we're celebrating that day. So by now, I'm sure a lot of you have thought, I know, because it's always sort of like these competitions to see who can send out the cutest, the funniest, the most interesting little box, mishloach manot box or basket. And I'm not going to go through everything. I've been through it before, been through it so often. All you do is go to the internet and just put in there 101 ideas for shalach monos, and you will get, and I'm being serious. Now, serious, I mean, just take that word seriously. You could even put in your box cereal and long life milk. Now, that's a nice, seriously, funny kind of gift. You can also be going completely nuts and just pack a whole little gift of nuts and things and send those out, and fruit and whatever. But before we come to our very important guests, Purim, to cut a very long story, because we read the whole story twice next week, is basically a festival where the Jews were saved by Queen Esther. And how appropriate that this year the holiday starts a day after, or the day before, when is National Women's Day? The 8th. So it's a day after National Women's Day. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, let me just take a break and come back to you.
You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the show. It's 11:11. I'm Sharon Lurie, and I am chatting to Eunice and Mote. And background to Eunice, I'm sure you've heard her many times. She's been on the radio before. She's an author. And every year on the 8th of March, women across the world join forces to celebrate the success of each other, to create awareness against inequality and injustice. And as the saying goes, every man needs a woman when his life's in a mess. I'm looking at Craig here, because just like a game of chess, the queen protects the king. However, we are going to talk about a mother and a daughter and their relationship around a table and how they got through their problems sitting at, I must just tell you that Eunice's book is called The Book South African Culinary, Heritage, A Table of Culinary Heritage and Sincere Conversations. And this sincere conversation is between two women and, who had a little bit of an interval in their relationship, and they're talking about how the table brought them back together to converse with one another. And I welcome you both, Eunice and Matei, and thank you so much for joining me during this special Women's Day week.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us, Karen.
Pleasure. And just to, as I said, we're going to be talking about your personal experience as two ladies and how the table, so to speak, brought the two of you together. Mm. Now, I'm a firm believer in that. I believe the table, for me, is where everything happens. I mean, every Friday night, as you know, us Jewish people get together. We all sit around the table, family, whether you're talking, whether you're not talking, whether you argue, you scream, you fight, but you just love each other in the end. Mm. Tell us a little bit about your story, Eunice and Motev.
Yeah. First of all, I must say, Sharon, the very idea of the Jewish culture of families getting together, that tradition, that's what attracted me to your show. When I started, you know, remember we met 3 years ago?
Yes.
And that's what attracted me to your show. And with the book, really, I'm trying to bring back the tradition in families, particularly in African families, that we must get back, because, you know, you as Jewish people have managed to maintain that. But for us in the black community, that has been completely broken down. So slowly, I'm trying to get more families to do that. But talking about my story, you know, the book is about food and conversations. But these conversations happened. I didn't plan on the conversations. It started with a letter. The conversations started with a letter.
From?
From my daughter, Motei.
Motei, right?
Yeah. And by that time, these things happened concurrently. At that time, I'm doing research for my book, and I'm trying to authenticate the recipes, and I'm talking to a lot of chefs, but the most important chef that I wanted to talk to, the home chef, was my mother. So I made an agreement and I went home to Soweto and spent a year just studying, you know, the recipes and tasting them and just having
amazing
fun.
Amazing recipes.
Yeah. But back to the letter.
Yes.
Motei wrote me a letter because I think we, on face value, we had a very good relationship. And we were a seemingly perfect family, perfect-looking family. But the problem was we were a family that didn't talk about things. And more so because the way I was brought up, I'm also from a family whereby we were not skilled to talking. We never sat around the table. And I say it over and over. My cry is, we never sat and ate together. We never, and that made me a poor communicator. And I brought that into my marriage. I brought that into how I raised my children. But because now it's the second generation, for me now, not talking became so severe that even though we lived together, did things together, ran the business together with my daughter, but my children couldn't talk to me. Mutei couldn't get through to me. And finally, she decided to write me a letter. And I think Mutei will say a little bit about why she wrote the letter.
Okay. Now, just to put everything into perspective, you have an older son.
Yes.
And from a different father.
Yes.
And Mutei was from
my marriage.
Your marriage.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, Mutei, what made you decide to write this letter?
I think, as my mother said, communication was something that we struggled with. And as much as we would do so many things together, we just never communicated. I think we had very bad communication skills between the two of us, not understanding each other, but also just not communicating properly, being able to sit down, converse, hear what the other person's saying, whether you disagree or not. And I think we tried so many times to have conversations about things that we really needed to talk about, and it just didn't work. So I felt that I think writing a letter was probably the best option because it would allow me to say everything I needed to say, but also with no interruptions, no judgments. And I think once you document something, it's always there. So she could go back at any time and reread it if she wanted to. So I thought a letter, for me at that moment was just the best thing, because anytime we tried to talk about something, it would just...
You'd be interrupted.
Yeah, and it wouldn't end well, you know? Yeah. It wouldn't end well, and you miss the point of actually what you're trying to talk about.
Right. So what did you say in the letter?
Can
I ask you? Was it a little bit too private?
Yeah, I think I just
thought too raw.
Yeah, I think, look, I think obviously it was quite raw. It was just me pouring out my heart, and I think, it was just me pretty much pouring out my heart just in terms of how I wanted our relationship to be better, how I wanted us to communicate, and just try and have a constructive and healthy relationship. I think that was the main thing, like a normal, healthy relationship where we would talk. Because as much as we would do so many things together, we'd go out for dinner, we worked together because they ran a business and I worked with them. We did so many things together, but the essence of just having a healthy communication between us was not there.
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about teenage years. We're talking about you were a little bit older.
Yeah. I was married already.
She
was married.
Yeah. And now her main concern was she's got a daughter now.
Uh-huh.
Now the situation is complicated because I want to be into her daughter's, my granddaughter's life.
Sure.
And
sure.
Yeah.
After the break, we get back to Eunice and Mutei for some more conversations at the table.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Okay, so we are back with Eunice and Mohai, and we are talking about love, the connection between mother and daughter, and actually how brave it was of you, Mutei, to sit down, write this letter, and to tell Mom exactly how you feel. Because so often I get sort of so angry or I get so warm and fuzzy that I write these long, my kids call it, but the minute they see Mommy typing on SMS, they go, oh, God, no, here she goes again. So now I do it on email. And I write letters and I just explain how I feel. And sometimes I don't even send them. So it's brave of you that you went out there, you sent her the letter. And what happened from there?
It's supposed to be a good story because you'd think the letter would get through to me. Sadly, it didn't. I opened the letter. She gave me the letter. It was in a nice long envelope. So for me, I'm thinking, it's a business letter. It's a bank statement. And she was just casual about it. She said, Mommy, here's a letter I wrote. Here's your letter. And I said, oh, where is it from? And she said, no, it's from me. And immediately I knew, in my heart, I knew that something is horribly wrong. Something is horribly wrong, and I'm going to have to deal with it. And I open the letter. All I remember is just seeing my daughter's heart bleeding on the letter. And like so many things, remember, I'm not skilled in talking. I don't know how to deal with things. Everything that's a problem, it goes under the carpet.
That big carpet.
And then life goes on. Yeah, and as I was saying, yes, and life goes on. So I scan the letter, I see the letter, and I just see blood, my daughter's heart there, bleeding. And like with many other problems in my life, I folded the letter, sealed it, put it in my handbag, and it stayed there for a year. Because I didn't know how to, I didn't even read, I just scanned through it. And, but I knew I was challenged to address whatever was going on. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, Sharon. And I put it away. It stayed there for a year. And we continued to live our life struggling. As, and you can imagine how frustrated Motei was with me. Because even before then, you know, I was given a second chance to be in my daughter's life. Before then, Sharon, having struggled with getting through to me, because remember, I had marital problems. Right. And the problems were complicated by the fact that I couldn't address problems in my marriage. We were two broken people that got together, and when the things that needed to be talked about, I didn't know how to talk about things. My ex-husband was broken as well. So in trying to fix the problem, I think we broke each other. And I put the letter away. And I think the point that I wanted to make was, out of frustration, 4 years earlier, Motei went to my mother and told my mother that, you know, mommy is going through marital problems. And we respect that she wants to stay in the marriage. We actually admire that. But we want her not to be consumed by the marital problems. Because they consumed me, Sharon, sure, to a point of distraction. Mm. I neglected the children. I neglected the business that we subsequently lost. I neglected myself. Mm-hmm. I just stopped living. And out of frustration, Motei went to my mother and said, you know, Granny, I've been trying to talk to mommy, and I'm just coming to report to you as the matriarch of the family that I won't be able to have a relationship with my mother at the rate that we're going on. And she cut ties, and we stopped talking for 4 years. I had no contact whatsoever, because Motei took a stand and said, until mommy, you decide that as human beings, we can sit together like any family and talk about things, we will destroy each other. So we'd rather be apart. So when this letter is written, that has happened already. So you'd think I'd be more responsible, but I was so damaged, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But luckily for me, this letter comes in now at the time that I'm researching the book, and I went home to my mother, and as my mother is teaching me how to cook, something strange happened. Because remember, the same way that I can't talk to Motei, my mother wasn't able to talk to me. I wasn't able to talk to my mother. But something strange that during the cooking, because I stayed with her for a year, so that was a long time. And we started bonding with my mother. My mother started talking about very sensitive things. There are six of us in our family, and I'm the second eldest. None of our siblings knew about these things. And then I realized, we're relating with mommy the way we've never related before. And then I approached her about the letter. I said, you know, the children came to you and said, you know, they're cutting ties with me. I actually have a letter, and I want you to help me out on how to reach out to Motei. Yeah. And then my mother gave me a very simple advice. She said to me, make a phone call and make an appointment. But for you to win the children over, Eunice, number one, you have to be humble. The second thing is you have to forget about being right. Because as mothers, what obstructs communication is that instead of hearing what our children are telling us, where their pain is coming from, We spend a lot of time, Sharon, trying to prove that we are right. And my mother said, unless Eunice, you make, even before you make the phone call, your demeanor must be that you are not right. Forget about being right and just humble yourself and it will be okay. That was a very simple solution for a lifelong problem. So I did make the appointment, but whilst waiting for the date to come, I kept going to my mother and say, can we pray about this? The meeting is coming. I'm hoping my mother will come up with more complicated things to be done. No, Eunice, we've prayed. You know what you need to do. Just be humble and forget about being right. And we did that, and then we met with Motei. And,
Now, how did it feel for you, Motei? I mean, was the build-up the same? Were you anxious? Were you worried, you know, before the meeting? And where did you meet?
At that stage, I was staying in Soweto with my mother in Mlizani. We met at Motei's home because she was married already. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Poor little girl.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm. And then what happened? She came in.
I think just her initial communication at that time, it was very different than, you know, what she usually would have been, her demeanor and just her, the phone conversation was very different. So I think it was more, I don't think it was anxious. I think it was intrigued because, she's now had time to read the letter and obviously it's not like she read it once. Obviously she is coming with something. I don't know what she's coming with. I don't know if she's, you know, I think it was just more, intrigue more than anything. I wouldn't say anxious. I think it was just intrigue to just find out
what she was actually going to say.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, were you proud of her that she'd written this book or did you feel antagonism towards her because she's taken the time to communicate with her new book and she didn't use that time to spend on you. But then, of course, she was trying to make money to feed the family and look after everybody.
I think at that time, she was spending a lot of time with my grandmother who then passed on.
Yes.
And, she was taking care of her ailing mother. So I think it was an important thing for her and the journey to go through, you know. So I didn't have, any resentment or negative feelings about that. I think more than anything, she really just wanted to spend that time and she was obviously doing a lot of self-discovery, but also, just caring for my grandmother. So I think, you know, it's compassion more than anything else. I don't particularly remember how I felt necessarily about the book. I was a bit concerned about how much, she would share. I was married at the time, so I didn't want, maybe that's the wrong word, but I just wanted that if she's going to share a story, she shares my story, not, my partner's, or my daughter. So that was, that was the rule of thumb. And if she did want to, she would, ask my ex-husband if it's fine, if he would, cause it's not just me anymore. There's another family being represented on my behalf. I think we dealt with that.
Were you at the wedding?
Yes.
You were at the wedding?
Yes.
Okay. So you knew your son?
Yes. And we had a very beautiful relationship.
Really?
Yeah. What also helped with Motei is that, the husband actually came from a family where they would sit and talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he was raised differently. So this thing of family getting together.
Yes.
For him, it was important. So he didn't understand this dysfunctionality.
Yes.
It didn't make sense.
What was going on?
Yes. And she didn't understand. And you know, son-in-laws love their mothers. And he loved me. He adored me. He said, I want my daughter to be influenced by your mother. So we have to work through this. I think Mutei had support from that. So that's why the conversation happened. And on the other hand, I had support from my mother who was advising me with each and every, because it wasn't just one meeting. We had, you know, a lot of those meetings. I used to call them workshops. Yes. My son doesn't. He says, "Mama, they're not workshops. We're just chatting as a family." And so even when I went to Mutei, I laid the ground. You know, I always say, just like you, for the conversations to happen properly, Sharon, just like you setting a table and you put in a tablecloth and you decorate the table, we must do so with the conversation. I had to lay down the table and say, "Mutei, I know I have hurt you. I am coming differently because my mother has advised me. So I'm not just coming the same person. I have heard my mother's advice and I am coming with you using my mother's advice." So that was just a nice tablecloth to lay. So even during the conversations when we were, because sometimes, you know, I'm not used to talking, so sometimes I would go back to my old ways of walking away or just shut down during the conversations. Mutei would keep on saying, "Mommy, let's try again, because, you know, Granny's trying to help you here. Let's use Granny's ideas. What, you know, Granny's really trying to." So Mutei would, because I had laid the table, Mutei would refer me back to the rules of engagement. Right. So the support that we got, these conversations, you need to have support. We, as two broken people, you cannot do them on your own. So I had support from my mother. She had support from her ex-husband.
And then you sat down at the table.
Yeah.
Did you serve your mom's food from her book?
she did it subconsciously. She doesn't even remember. You know what happened when I knew that we were ready? Yes. She was going to work in the morning and she said, "Mommy, tonight I'd like you to prepare Maotwana chicken feet and dumpling. Make the dumpling the way Granny used to."
Really?
Then I knew that the table is set. And she doesn't remember saying that, but you know, the first conversation really happened around us having, and Mutei doesn't eat dumpling. She likes Maotwana chicken feet.
Yeah.
But on that, it's ironic that on that day, she specifically said, "I must prepare dumpling." And dumpling appears 70 times in the book.
Yeah.
Represents my mother's recipe.
Dumble.
Yes. So here it is. It's dumpling. It's Maotwana. And that's what we had. So that was our first conversation. And it was around that.
Okay. And it worked.
It did.
The chicken feet and the dumplings worked.
They worked. They worked.
Okay. So tell us about some of the other exciting meals that you've had together. And what does your daughter love? What type of food, Mutei, does your daughter eat? Her granny's food.
she loves flatbread.
Uh-huh.
Because with flatbread, remember, it's easy to make. And we make it together. So she loves flatbread.
How do you make it?
With flatbread, it's the same recipe as your dumpling. For 2 cups of, let's say you want about 8 servings for 2 people.
Yes.
You take 2 cups of flour.
Yes.
Half a teaspoon of, just a pinch of salt.
Yes.
1 teaspoon of yeast, dried yeast. Myself, I just mix it together, but other people make a paste on the side of the yeast. But I just mix the yeast together and half a teaspoon of sugar and just mix the dough, put it aside. And as you know, the good bread comes with kneading. So, you put it aside after you've given it a nice good knead and just roll it and then cut it. Ideally, I like to do the flatbread on open fire, where we're supposed to be doing
on a grid.
Yes.
Okay.
It looks much better. The texture is much nicer.
Yes.
And then, I know people are health conscious. I also add a little bit of olive oil in the flour to make it soft, and then add herbs, and that's what my daughter, my granddaughter loves, and a little bit of herbs. So basically, it's 2 cups of flour, 1 tablespoon of yeast, 1/2 teaspoon of sugar, and then just a pinch of salt, and 1 teaspoon of herbs.
So, do you, Mutay, feel in any way? Did you go into your granny's kitchen and also learn how to cook food and do things with her?
No, I didn't.
No. But at least your daughter is now. So she's learning.
Yeah.
After the break, we'll be back with Eunice and Mutay for some, table talk.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I am talking live to Eunice Molefi, author, and her daughter Mutay. And the conversations around the table that brought these two young ladies together after many years of no communications, so to speak. Now, Eunice, do you ever have any sort of large events? Like we've got, okay, so we have Purim coming up. We have all the Jewish holidays coming up. Do you have anything like that where the whole family gets together and 20 of you sit down and chat about the past and laugh and bring up stories about remember when?
I wish I could say yes. Unfortunately not, Sharon. Remember, that's what drove me to write the book. We are from a family of six. I grew up in a family where we hardly ever had dinner together.
As you got home from work so that you would eat and wash up your plate.
Yeah, I grew up, yes. My mother and father were not those kind of people. And they were good, you know, Christian people. But they just didn't have that. So I grew up whereby we never ate together. And as I said, there were six of us. There's 5 of us now. But even as grown up, we married as with our own children, because that culture was never instilled in us as we grew up. We don't have it.
Yes.
We don't have it. And with the book, I am, and with these conversations that I am having with Mutay, because I do these conversations quite often, I am trying to start afresh, to break that cycle from my own family whereby we never eat together. So I am building that with Mutay and with my son. So the four, my son and his wife and Mutay and a daughter, we do have that. So I'm starting from afresh. Building my own family together so that it can grow now to my other siblings so that we can get together.
How beautiful.
Yes.
Because that's what it's basically all about. I mean, I know my family in America, also my sister-in-law is ex-South African, always used to say to me, she'd say, it's so beautiful in your house to sit down and have a meal together.
Yeah.
You know, it's supper time and that's it. Everybody comes together. She says in America, this one's out playing basketball. This one's out playing soccer. That one's out playing. They all come home at different times. Everybody sticks their plate in the microwave and that's it. She said the only good thing is once a week that we have Shabbat together.
Yes.
And that Sabbath meal is just so important. And is there it, when you get together, how often do you get together?
I've got, you know, my granddaughter, Amina, thinks she's an author as well. She thinks she's me. So we do things together. So
beautiful.
She likes planning those things. So we actually have a calendar right through the year to do that. And then once a month we do get together, my children and my granddaughter, we eat together. And then in the interim, every 6 weeks, we make sure that at least we have tea together.
Ah,
we have,
beautiful.
And you know, much as this has been such a traumatizing thing for not having that from my own family, it has inspired me to want to instill it in my own children. And with a book now, I'm hoping to help other families, because you know, the broken relationship, mother-daughter relationship, Sharon, yeah. I have discovered with the research that it's a very common problem. But the thing is, as women, we are scared. It seems scandalous. It's okay to say you have a bad relationship with your husband, your daughter, your son, your daughter-in-law, but to be open and say, yes. I don't actually talk to my daughter. Women are scared to talk about that. And I want to say we must talk about it, and it's possible that they can be healed, these relationships.
Exactly. I mean, I can't remember there's that saying that your story could be the key to unlocking somebody's prison. So in other words, and don't be afraid to share it.
Yeah.
So what you say, you know, somebody out there may be listening and going, you know what? I'm actually going to invite my son and daughter-in-law or my daughter for Purim.
Yes.
Or for Passover. You know, we have Passover where everybody gets together. You know, and this is, you're encouraging people to communicate around the table, around food, around your culture, around what you're used to. And for me, that's what I do. That's my place, my happy place around my table. My kids always say, Marty, do you never just get tired? Don't you just want to like make bourvoss rolls or something?
Yes.
And to me, I just want everybody just to be together.
Yes. And also the conversations, they don't have to be very hardcore and difficult all the time. And when they start this, I think Muti can tell you that our first meal together, even with, you know, the whole family together, my daughter-in-law, my son, and our first table, the conversations were very uncomfortable.
Sure.
But we persevered and we said,
exactly.
Let's book when we will see each other. And then as time goes on, they become smoother. And we don't have to talk about serious things all the time.
Right.
But we must allow the conversations to take its course. If it's time to talk about difficult things, let's talk about them. And if it's time to talk about things that are making us happy, we must allow all the flavors of conversations to happen around the dinner table.
And with that comfort will come laughter.
Yes.
Because,
of course.
You know, you just sort of think back to like certain things and, you know, everybody will say, Ma, do you remember that time when you did X, Y, and Z?
Yes.
Do you remember when you made macaroni cheese one Friday night for supper and it was so stodgy because we have to cook everything before Shabbos? Do you remember that? Everybody laughs and I think, you know, as I say, I mean, to me, this book is incredible. Conversations at a table are very, very important.
Yeah. And when you mentioned laughter, you know, in a moment of great difficulty when the children, because remember it was almost in total 7 years that I was out of touch with the children.
Yes.
So in a, you know, dire moment where I was sharing with my mom and my mom looked at me and said, what do you miss about the children, Eunice? And I said, you know, Mama, I just remember what I miss most is for us sitting around the table with my children and eating together and laughing. I said, the most memorable things that I missed was just talking to the children. And it was always fun. It was always fun. And thankfully, we've brought that back in track and we're trying. But this time around, the conversations are healing now. When we get together, we heal each other as well.
Yes, and I'm sure the food helps.
The food.
And Mate, you are bringing up a little girl. How old is your little girl now?
She's 9.
She's 9.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful that you said how you adored your son-in-law.
Yes.
And do you still have that relationship with him? Is he included at your table sometimes?
Sadly, not.
He's moved on his
path. Sadly not.
Okay, we'll come back after the break.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, Hi, welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I'm chatting to Eunice and Mote about their relationship and how food and their cultures help them to regain that strength and regain that beautiful relationship that they always had and are now enjoying and loving. Because they say that children are the happiest memories of the past, the joyful moments of the present, and the hope and promise of the future. So I hope and promise that your future, Mate, will be filled with all the beautiful food that your mom has created in her book and shared with all of us. And just on a little bit of a lighter note, I was reading a book. There's a woman called, I think it's a Sat. She'd become famous. Her mother's a movie director and a movie producer, and she gave that all up, and she's called Crazy Jewish Mom. Okay. Now, you have to go and read. You have to go onto her Sat. Just Google on the internet, Crazy Jewish Mom, and you will actually see the text that she sends her daughter. And why does your son take, your boyfriend take so long to propose? But, and her book is just, I mean, her site is just too wonderful. And in the end, her daughter, not the mother, the daughter wrote the book, and it's called Mother, Can You Not? And it's just such a lovely, I mean, it's just such happiness that's involved in that book. And, you know, this is a month of fun and a month of happiness. And I hope that you do a workshop for Women's Day?
Yes. International Women's Day, it's actually on the 8th. On Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Yes.
But we are doing the celebration on Saturday the 7th at Chief's Boma restaurant at Indaba Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we will be there from 11 till 3 o'clock. Lunch starts exactly at 12 o'clock, so people have to be on time, and it costs $2.65 per person, full buffet, African-influenced buffet, and we cater for people who are vegetarian.
Ladies only?
Not necessarily. I don't know. Okay. But for now, I'm catering for ladies, because it's a conversation. We're going to have a bigger conversation on a bigger table.
Right.
Yeah.
On a table laden with food.
Yes.
Which reminds me, before I forget, that there is a cooking demonstration by the Kosher Butcher's Wife on the 25th of March this month. And it's going to really be a fun, fun evening. 7 for 7:15. A night of prizes, of giveaways, of recipes, questions and answers, tasters, and all sorts of exciting ingredients that we didn't think we could make on Pesach. So if you go to S for sugar, C for Carol, Lurie, @gmail.com. You can book your space, and we're filling up quickly, so it's going to really be not just one of those boring old demonstrations. It's going to be fun. So I know that you said that you wanted to end off on a beautiful note, and I think now's the time to end.
Yes. Before, if I may mention, I forgot to mention that even though it's an African traditional buffet that we'll be serving on Saturday, we do have kosher for people who RSVP on time.
Yeah.
We can order kosher and halal.
Terrific.
Yeah,
thank
Indaba
you.
Has okay. got that type of service and facility available.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. You were talking about that mother with the daughter that now the daughter has written a book. I think with Mute sharing the platform with me, doing these conversations with me, it's celebration. It's a sign of healing. And in a way,
absolutely.
This is the essence of peace that Mute is sharing the platform with me. So I'll just read the first and the last stanza, Sharon.
Okay.
With reflection, when I realize now that my mother was right, that if I humble myself and forget that I am right, the children will be back, and the children are back. And in celebration of that, I wrote a poem dedicating it to my late mother. And because most of our conversations were around tea, the poem is A Teacup of Compassion. It was the exotic Kenyan tea, as I recall, with every warm sip, the grinding pains of my life melted. With every sip, your compassion soothed the agony of my soul, the world around joyous and blissful. The sip brought you closer, closer to the low temperatures of my life, deep inside where not even I could see. With every sip, you saw and sensed. As the cup emptied, so did the anguish. And the last stanza. Filling up the teapot today, the tea is differently flavored. As the steam dawns out of the cup, the dance resonates with the rhythm of my soul. As the smell of herbs dawns out of the cup, the bouquet of aromas resonates with my heart. My life is warm and the feeling is tasty. Our life is for others. Yours has been. A dedication to my mother.
Wow. Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Eunice. Thank you, Matei. What an unbelievable interview. I loved every minute of it. I'm a little choked up. Thank you. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
In 2 weeks' time.
Thank you.